Welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on Thursday, April 19th at 7:30 p.m. in Lee Auditorium, Pinecrest High School in Southern Pines, and Friday, April 20th at 12 noon in Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. This concert will be conducted by guest conductor Wesley Schultz. The featured soloist will be pianist George X. Fu. The program on this performance will include the following: the overture to the opera The Marriage of Figaro, Kürtchen Listing 492 by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, followed by the Piano Concerto No. 23 in A Major, Kürtchen Listing 488, also by Mozart. And following an intermission in the evening performance only, the symphony returns to the stage to perform the Symphony No. 3 in A minor, Opus 56, called the Scottish Symphony by Felix Mendelssohn. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. We'll begin with a look at the featured pianist for this concert. Hailed by the Boston Music Intelligencer as a heroic piano soloist of stunning virtuosity, Chinese-American pianist George X. Fu has performed as a soloist with orchestras including the National Symphony Orchestra, the Baltimore Symphony, Tanglewood Music Center Orchestra, and the Bach Society Orchestra of Harvard University. His debut with the North Carolina Symphony was at Summerfest, where he performed Sanson's Piano Concerto No. 2 in June of 2017. A frequent participant in international and national piano competitions, Fu won top prizes at Oberlin, Lenox, Blount's Lawson's Lee University, and the National Symphony Orchestra. His live performances and interviews have been featured on public television and radio broadcasts throughout the United States, such as On Stage at Curtis, Articulate with Jim Cotter, and Performance Today. He frequently performs alongside duo partners and ensembles from around the world and has appeared with the Curtis 2021 Ensemble as both soloist and collaborative musician. Fu frequently collaborates with composers in premiering new works and composes his own works. He also premiered and recorded a set of piano etudes by Dmitry Timochko in Princeton University. After a widely acclaimed performance at the Tanglewood Music Festival in 2016, Fu was selected as a new Fromm player for Tanglewood's 2017 summer season. A native of Frederick, Maryland, Fu began piano studies at the age of five. He earned a bachelor's degree from Harvard University and a degree in piano performance at the Curtis Institute of Music. He currently studies at the Royal Academy of Music in London. George Fu appears by special arrangement with Curtis on tour, the Nina von Maltzahn Global Touring Initiative of the Curtis Institute of Music. Now for notes about the performance. The North Carolina Symphony begins with the overture to The Marriage of Figaro, Kürtchen Listing 492 by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Mozart was born January 27, 1756 in Salzburg, Austria. He died December 5, 1791 in Vienna. This work was composed in 1786, and the first performance was May 1, 1786, at the Burgtheater, Vienna, conducted by the composer. Now here is the overview. In 1781, Mozart set out for Vienna, capital of the Holy Roman Empire and the center of the Central European culture, as a freelance musician, a novelty at the time. In spite of early success, especially with his piano concertos and as a pianist, he could never secure a position in court, and his financial situation went from bad to worse. Opera was the most prestigious musical genre in Vienna, and Mozart had the luck to team up with one of the best librettists of all time, Lorenzo da Ponte, who lived from 1749 to 1838. Born in Italy of Jewish parents and converted as a child to Catholicism, da Ponte wrote the librettos for three of Mozart's greatest operas, Don Giovanni, The Marriage of Figaro, and Così fan tutti. Unfortunately, the three da Ponte operas met only with limited success in Vienna. It was only after Mozart's death that their true value was appreciated. The Marriage of Figaro is one of the oldest operas in the standard repertoire and one of the most youthful in spirit. When Pierre Desmarchais' play, on which the opera is based, was published in 1782, its unflattering portrait of the aristocracy understandably caused an uproar and horrified Louis XVI. Like any scandal, it proved irresistible and must have spread rapidly because Mozart's opera to Lorenzo da Ponte's libretto was premiered only 4 years later on the cusp of the French Revolution. Now here's what to listen for. As is customary for most opera overtures of the 18th century, this one contains no music from the opera itself. Nevertheless, the overture captures the spirit of the opera in its opening bars, a sequence of rapid notes on the strings scurrying like whispering conspirators. It is answered by the whole orchestra with festive trumpets. These alternating moods continue through the ebullient overture. The instrumentation for the overture is as follows: two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, timpani, and strings. Next, the symphony performs the Piano Concerto No. 23 in A Major, Kochel Listing 488, also by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. This work was composed in 1786, the first performance, 1786, with the composer as soloist. Here is the overview. During the period between 1782 and 1786, Mozart completed no fewer than 12 piano concertos, many of them exploring new structural and harmonic territory. The A Major Concerto, one of his most popular, is not only a powerfully emotional work, especially in the second movement, but is also of historical interest. One of the three concertos he was to perform in Vienna during the Lenten season of 1786, Kochel 488, was completed in March and was among the first of his works to make use of clarinets. Preliminary sketches for this work exist, demonstrating, contrary to legend, that Mozart wasn't always composing on the fly. In fact, he kept notebooks containing musical ideas to be used at a later time, works in progress, and even some brief sketches eventually abandoned altogether. About 320 fragments and sketches have survived. Sketches for part of the first movement, an abandoned second movement in D major, and the finale reveal that this work was already underway in 1784, 2 years before its completion. This evidence demonstrates that Mozart sometimes devoted great care to revising and polishing his music. This concerto belongs to a group of five that Mozart dedicated to his early patron Joseph Wenceslaus von Fürstenberg, the reigning prince of Dauschingen in southwest Germany, a well-known center for the promotion of new music to this day. In a letter to the prince, Mozart reveals that these were works for my own use and for a small group of music-loving friends. Now here's what to listen for. The opening movement in the modified sonata form used for the classical concerto comprises two lyrical principal themes rather than the usual contrasting themes, separated by a more harmonically unstable bridge plus a syncopated closing theme. The bulk of the movement involves the interplay of brief fragments of the themes presented during the exposition. The fairly simple cadenza is the only surviving solo cadenza Mozart wrote into a score. Usually, he either wrote out cadenzas separately or improvised them in performance. Generations of composers and pianists have taken advantage of the creative freedom allowed in the cadenza to supply their own. The second movement is the only piece Mozart ever composed in F-sharp minor, the relative minor to A major. While the mood is extremely intense, the orchestration is quite light, and it is probable that the piano part was originally embellished with improvised ornamentation. Those interested in the nature of such improvised embellishments should consult Mozart's earlier concerto, No. 9, Jeune Homme, Kärcher Listing 271, in which Mozart wrote out elaborate ornamentation for the piano in the second movement. The sprightly rondo of the finale is in a sharp contrast to the pathos of the preceding movement. It suggests a happy release from a dark night of the soul. The instrumentation for this work is solo piano, flute, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, and strings. And the final work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony in this performance is the Symphony No. 3 in A minor, Opus 56, by Felix Mendelssohn, often called the Scottish Symphony. Mendelssohn was born February 3, 1809, in Hamburg, and he died November 4, 1847, in Leipzig, Germany. The work was composed 1829 to 1842, and the first performance was March 3, 1842, by the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra, conducted by the composer. Now here is the overview. We are all familiar with the romantic stereotype, and often the reality of the composer struggling for his daily bread and artistic survival. Probably the greatest exception to this picture was Felix Mendelssohn, an economically secure composer from a culturally sophisticated and highly supportive family. The Mendelssohn household was a mecca for the intellectual elite of Germany, and the many family visitors fawned over the prodigy and his talented sister Fanny. Fortunately for the development of his rare abilities, his carefully selected teachers were demanding and strict. Mendelssohn's financial security gave him the opportunity to take the grand tour in what was then considered the civilized world, Western Europe, Italy, and Britain. In 1829, he traveled to England and then on to Scotland, where his visit to the Fingal's cave in the Hebrides Islands inspired the Hebrides, which has also produced the ideas that became the Scottish Symphony. Started in Italy in 1830, but not finished until 1842, the Scottish Symphony was Mendelssohn's last. The numbering of the five symphonies, reflecting their order, dedicated the symphony to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, whom he had met and charmed during one of his visits to England. The Queen actually sang with Mendelssohn, accompanying her on the piano. Now here's what to listen for. While the music has an undeniably Scottish flavor, it does not quote any authentic folk melodies, a device that Mendelssohn despised. Writing to his father from Wales, he commented, "Anything but national music. May 10,000 devils take all folklore. A harpist sits in the lobby of every inn of repute, playing so-called folk melodies at you. Dreadful, vulgar, fake stuff. And simultaneously a hurdy-gurdy is tooting out melodies. It's enough to drive you crazy." Well, that being said, it's difficult to distinguish Mendelssohn's invented Scottish-style melodies from the kind of musical nationalism he so despised. Beginning with the introduction and the succeeding allegro agitato, the gloomy atmosphere gave rise to the myth that it was somehow inspired by the tragic life of Mary, Queen of Scots. More likely, the symphony reflects the bleak and stormy weather so prevalent in the Scottish highlands, lowlands, and outlying islands. The climax of the first movement is a veritable hurricane, replete with chromatic moaning in the strings. The second movement provides a little sunshine, its main theme as near to a Scottish folk song, with Scotch snap and all, as Mendelssohn could get without actually using one. The third movement comes through as passionate, at times even anguished. Its middle section suggests a horn call, summons of doom. Then it's back to the Sturm und Drang, storm and drive, of the finale. But perhaps with a bow to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Mendelssohn finishes the symphony with a shift again to the major mode and a new and optimistic theme to end it. The instrumentation for this work is two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, timpani, and strings. These symphony notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'll be reading all of the program notes for the remainder of the 2018 season of the North Carolina Symphony. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.